You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, this is Phil Rogers, columnist for MLB.com. I'm joined by Jason Beck, beat writer for the Detroit Tigers, on the Detroit Tigers edition of MLB.com Extras. Jason, thanks for agreeing to do it. I know those Tigers have been wearing you down a little bit. You had that 19-inning day in at Rogers Center in Toronto. How'd you enjoy that one?
I ate a lot of popcorn. You know what? It was really kind of a fascinating game. It was almost like two different contests. For one thing, they changed managers after, the third inning with Ausmus getting ejected, and Gene Lamont ends up managing like the final 15, 16 innings. And, for another thing, they went from, a bullpen that couldn't hold a, three, five-run lead with 9-10 outs to go to, I think four different relievers, including a starter-turned reliever, pitching the equivalent of a nine-inning shutout to keep that game going. And you had a team that, beat up Mark Burley for five runs in four innings and then went scoreless for the next 15. It really was a bizarre game, but kind of a fascinating game at that. I guess, if you're kind of into those, the trends and, kind of the ebb and flow of the game and such.
One last question about that game. Watching it, that was Chad Jenkins on the mound for the Blue Jays there for the last six innings, but I'm wondering if the Tigers at the end thought maybe it was Fergie Jenkins.
Torrey Hunter was talking about that. He said that that his sinker or whatever that pitch was that it was sinking on, I think it was the sinker, was really darting. And when they brought him in and they saw that pitch moving, they really had a hard time adjusting. I know they did get some runners on in a lot of those innings, but they never really got that huge hit that was able to put them on top. And of course, Torrey came up with the bases loaded and hit into that 1-2-3 double play. You had to come back to the pitcher that started that inning-ending twin killing. But, he was really their ace in the hole. I think he was kind of the game changer there. The Tigers, they got surprising outings, three innings apiece from Blaine Hardy and Pat McCoy. But because they were short in the bullpen and because they couldn't get a guy from Toledo in time, they were left having to throw Rick Porcello in there for the final few innings. And, as hard as he tried, he's not a reliever by trade. And, I think Blaine Hardy kind of explained it because Hardy's been a starter too. When you go into a game like that, there's kind of your starter's instincts that check in as far as being able to stretch your outing and try to be efficient. But at the same time, when you're a starter, you're used to being able to give up a run or two. It's not the end of the world when you give up your first run. In that game, if you give up a run, the game's over. So it's really, they were on edge really the whole time from what
they're saying. Well, backing out of that one game, rough trip to Yankee Stadium and then Rogers Center, lose series in both places, and it's kind of that here we go again part of the Tigers season. They only went 10 of the first 24 coming out of the All-Star break, and now all of a sudden a comfortable lead against the Royals. You got the Royals right there ready to grab first place again, and I know that it would be nothing new for the Tigers, or it is nothing new to be in this situation, because we saw them back in the middle of June 17th and 18th, got passed by the Royals and came back, won seven in a row and went 11-2 and bounced back to a comfortable spot. What's the level of concern about these Royals? I mean, they seem like a couple weeks ago it wouldn't have been that high, but now they're playing as well as they have this year. So you sense, I know the teams haven't played head-to-head since before the All-Star break, but when you hang around the clubhouse, what are you hearing the Tigers say about the Royals?
I think there's a level of respect for them. I think right now they're looking at a team that's gotten hot all of a sudden and it's really playing at or above you know, the potential a lot of these guys saw from him. I think at this point, though, they're really kind of inwardly focused, trying to figure out what's going on, you know, with their own club. And I think there's two things going on there. You know, you're trying to sort out the bullpen still. And I guess here we go again. You know, it's probably the operative term with, you know, Joaquin Soria on the DL, and now your bullpen's back to, you know, kind of depth issues that they had before they made that trade. But also, you know, these guys really haven't hit for any consistent stretch since the All-Star break. It's really been kind of weird. Aside from, they were able to put together a good weekend against the Rockies, I guess a little more than a week ago now. But, you know, if you go up and down the lineup, obviously we've written a multitude of words on Miguel Cabrera. And, you know, is he hitting at full strength? Is he hampered still by the recovery from the surgery? That's been an issue. I think quietly Victor Martinez has fallen off the pace. I think as a lot of people expected, he would fall off, you know, considering the pace he had going. Right now, J.D. Martinez is in this interesting gray area where, you know, you're trying to figure out whether, you know, he's about to fall off from that hot stretch that he was in for about 2 months, or, you know, if he's just kind of, regathering himself and trying to kind of keep the energy level going, you know, being an everyday player now for a pretty long stretch. Rajay Davis has been up and down. They're really, really up and down the lineup. You know, they're looking for some answers here, and they're trying to figure out a way to scrape runs across to take advantage of some of the starts they've been getting, because really, by and large, they've been getting outstanding starting pitching, really, since David Price and really
starting runs with Jason, but, you know, kind of a missing man formation. As excited as Tiger fans were to add David Price, one of the hottest hitters in the lineup had been Austin Jackson, you know, when he was dealt in that trade. How much has that played into it? Just kind of, I know it's probably more the batters around him. Ian Kinsler's not having a big second half in addition to those other guys. But just the taking Austin Jackson out of the lineup and you know, putting it right in different names in there every night, how much has that affected it?
I think they do miss him. I think, you know, say what you will about the ups and downs Austin Jackson had. When he was on and he was, you know, effective in that leadoff role, he was a huge spark plug, I think, for the rest of this lineup, because you get him on base and it really makes things a lot easier. And it kind of sets things in motion, I guess, in a way that's been hard for these guys to duplicate. Even though Rajay Davis has had some pretty good stretches, he really didn't have a bad series in Toronto, to be honest with you, aside from the 0-for-8 on Sunday. But it's not the same as when Austin Jackson's going and he's getting those, you know, doubles and triples, and he's coming through in clutch situations if you can get guys on at the bottom of the order. I think Austin had an underrated role in this offense really in July once he got moved back into the leadoff spot and found a comfort zone there. And I think that's something that, if anybody knows, you know, what kind of impact Austin Jackson can have, it's Lloyd McClendon, which I would imagine is one big reason why, you know, the Mariners were so interested in getting him, you know, when these trade talks got going.
Yeah, one other injury to ask about. You mentioned referenced Soria going on the disabled list, but double whammy with Aníbal Sanchez also on there. What is exactly Sanchez's situation, and what's the outlook for him? How long and any long term effects?
It's a pectoral muscle strain. So it's kind of a weird injury there. It's right under the arm socket and the shoulder. So actually, when you first heard it, I think there was some initial fear that, you know, man, is he grabbing at his arm? He wasn't. So in that sense, given his history, it's a sigh of relief. But on the other hand, you know, this is the type of injury that, you know, it could recover quickly, or, you know, it could linger a long time. And I think Dave Dombrowski kind of hinted at that, you know, at that gray area when he was talking about the timetable. He said, you know, ideally they're hoping for 3 to 4 weeks. It could be less, but also could be more. And if you get much more than a 3 to 4 week absence, then you're basically looking at having to go through, you know, the rest of the regular season without him potentially. And then, you know, you're looking at, you know, a kid like Robbie Ray having to step up and play a very big role. This is another factor that, you know, these guys have a extremely busy schedule down the stretch, you know, without a ton of off days and with 2 day doubleheaders coming up in August. I think I've read about it really coming out of the break, that I think there's a stretch where they play 24 games in 23 days, and that's with an off day mixed in there. They can't skip starters and be able to rely on their top four. You know, they're going to have to get contributions all around, and they're going to have to get contributions, you know, from the bulk of their positional roster, too. They're in for a test, and I think it's as much about themselves as it is about the Royals right now. You know, this is a team that's got guys trying to prove themselves, and it's got, you know, older players who are trying to, you know, going to have to plug through this. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how these guys go about it and how they fare through really, you know, maybe one of the rougher stretches that any team in baseball has going right now for the next month.
Yeah, Jason, thanks. Throwing back, ending with one of the numbers you gave me before, 55 games in 55 days. I mean, that is crazy. And you're right, this will be a big test for the Tigers. Thank you very much, Jason Beck. This is Phil Rogers, MLB.com, and Jason Beck. Thanks for listening to Detroit Tigers Edition, MLB.com Extra.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.